Welcome to the Empower You Radio Network, and thank you for joining us today on Living Astrology, where we are tapping into the magic of the cosmos for practical guidance and wisdom, with your host, Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and numerologist. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology. I'm your host, Janet Hickox, and I want to welcome you to my show on this beautiful, or what has turned out to be a beautiful, Northwest day. The sun is finally out, the sky is fairly blue, and it's dry, which is really good news for the folks about 30 miles away from me in Oso that suffered the landslide last weekend, as it gives them an opportunity to dry out and perhaps find some survivors. Today we have a wonderful show. I am so excited today because I have a wonderful guest, Karen Curry Parker, who is the author of the best-selling book, Understanding Human Design. And she's here to tell us today about human design and why we should be really interested in this. And I can tell you, because I've started learning this system, that it is absolutely fabulous. And I have been an astrologer for many years, and I find that human design kind of helps fill in the gaps where Western astrology alone doesn't give me access to that same level of information. First today, we're going to talk about some amazing discoveries that have been going on in our universe. Then I will bring on Miss Karen, and she will talk to us about human design, and I'm guessing today she's probably going to take us through type and strategy, and then we're actually going to do some mini readings for some folks who have already sent us their birth information. And so if you're a guest calling in wanting to get a reading, chances are we won't be able to get to you because I already have six people scheduled for today. However, if we have extra time, we will definitely do that for you. All right, so before we get to all the other good stuff, remember last week I played a clip of a song called Happy by Pharrell Williams from the movie Despicable Me 2, and I promised some people today that I would play it again this week because it has been such an interesting week, and I think we all need a dose of happy. So I'm going to mute myself out for a minute and play this happy music. Hold on. And everybody get up and dance.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
During that song. I forgot to mute myself out, and I'm sitting back here snapping my fingers, and I hope nobody heard me. But if you had seen me, if this was TV as opposed to radio, you probably would have died laughing because I am totally chair dancing. Okay, so now that we're all happy, we've tuned our DNA up to the happy dance. I want to talk to you about some really interesting things that I heard today going on in the world of astronomy. And the first amazing discovery, and you know, I knew this time period that we were going into was going to be really interesting in terms of the things that we might find out technologically, or, you know, space exploration came also to my mind, as we're really pushing forward into a new paradigm. So what we discover is that there is an asteroid way out in the Kuiper Belt that is called Chiricla. And it was discovered this week that that body has rings around it, sort of like Saturn does. Even Jupiter and Uranus have been discovered to have rings, but never before have they found a body in the universe that's this small and find rings associated with it. And it was really kind of interesting how they discovered it. They were observing a different star further away, and as Chiricla pulled in front of that star and occulted it, that's called an occultation, and they noticed that as the body passed, just before the body of the of that planet passed over, there was a small wobble in the view. And then the main body went through, and then just after, another small darkening, if you will, of the star that they were looking at. And so as they started researching more, they discovered it was rings. So I find that fascinating. But I think the biggest news that I just found out this morning, and I don't know exactly when, so I apologize for that, but there was the discovery of a distant dwarf planet. Now, you know, a few years back, astronomers in their infinite wisdom declassified Pluto as a planet, demoted him to a dwarf planet, and promoted an asteroid named Ceres to dwarf planet status. So the discovery of a distant dwarf planet was kind of interesting. The name of it hasn't been determined yet, so right now it's referred to as 2012 VP113, but they discovered it at the very far edge of our solar system. And interesting because the closest point that it makes to our sun is 80 times the distance between our Earth and the sun. So, of course, I had to do the math, and there are 93 million or so miles between the Earth and the sun. And if you multiply that by the 80, that is the distance, the multiplier that they were using, that's 7,440,000,000 miles away. It's just unbelievable. Now, research is also now pointing to the potential of an enormous planet out there beyond the Kuiper Belt and into the Oort cloud that is perhaps 10 times the size of the Earth, and it's not yet seen, but it's possibly influencing the orbit of 2012 VP113 and other Oort cloud bodies, of which so far they've numbered 900, and you know they're going to find way more than that. And is it possible that that particular hypothesized planet, Nibiru, which is from Anunnaki legends, is actually this body that they may discover here in the next coming months? So stay tuned, because to me this is one of the most amazing things to see mythology and science coming to meet. And so we'll want to stay tuned for more of that as science finds out more. This has also been a really interesting week because it seems, actually the whole month of March has been kind of fascinating, not only for me personally, but also in terms of some of the interesting things going on out there in the world. Planes disappearing, collisions between oil-laden vessels that, you know, result in huge oil spills, and in my own backyard, a landslide of epic proportions that takes out near on 50 homes, and at this point, who knows how many are dead. I've heard upwards of 90 people may be dead, or there's still 90 people missing, and so far confirmed 16 dead. So I had to ask myself, what the heck is going on here? The energy that this speaks to me of is of the planet Neptune, and because Neptune rules things like water and oil, the liquefaction of soils, they're all ruled over by Neptune, in particular because Neptune at this point is in Pisces, the sign it rules. There's a particular power and edge to some of the energies that we can experience. And it, you know, reminds me of here in the Pacific Northwest, one of the reasons why this landslide could happen is that that particular area of our state got over 11 inches of rain in the month of March alone. And that's an incredible amount of water when you think about it. And, of course, the land here can slide during that time. And I find it even more interesting because just a week before this landslide happened, we were all under landslide warnings. And then suddenly the landslide fear sort of passed, and we sort of relaxed our guard, I guess. And then this massive landslide occurs. So all of this is interesting to me, too, because this is only March. And for several months already this year, I have been talking to you about the energies of April and how one day after another throughout that entire month, there is one major aspect or another that's going on. And so we were already looking at a very active spring, at least through the month of April. And so I just want to remind you all, in the face of all of these interesting energies out there, keep calm, keep focused on your own life, and try not to get caught up in the dramas, especially, you know, as we get into April, and, you know, even wonkier things can happen because now the sun puts itself in a fire sign, Mercury will follow the sun into that fire sign, and not long after, Venus will follow itself, follow the sun into the fire signs. And so we may see even more interesting revolutionary energy coming to us. So stay calm, stay centered, stay focused in your own lives, and just understand that these things are happening for a reason. And that's because we are in the midst of an evolution of consciousness at this point. And sometimes in order to do that, we have to be shaken loose or we have to be flooded loose, or many other ways that the Earth can get our attention and let us know that something new is happening. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then when I come back, I'm going to introduce you to Karen Curry, and we're going to start talking about human design. Here we go.
Angel Heart Radio is heart and soul global radio. We offer you opportunities to feel heard and cared about. Why? Because you matter in the world. Come join us, angelheartradio.com, on demand 24/7, with live shows and wonderful guests from around the world. And it's all designed to inspire, uplift, delight, support, and nurture you. angelheartradio.com, everything's just one click away.
All right, we're back here on Living Astrology, and I want to introduce you to my guest today. Karen Curry is a human design specialist and the author of the book, Understanding Human Design, The Science of Discovering Who You Really Are, published by Hampton Roads. Karen teaches people to use human design as a practical tool to make easy but radical life changes. Known for her humorous and easy teaching style, Karen Curry is passionate about helping people discover their unique magnificence and life purpose using human design, a personality assessment system based on the Chinese I Ching, the Hindu chakra system, the Judaic Kabbalah, Eastern and Western astrology, and quantum physics. Karen travels and teaches people all over the world how to unlock their true potential and to remember the abundance of who they really are. Karen, welcome to Living Astrology. It is my distinct pleasure to have you here today. And you are live.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I had such an interesting trip to finding human design that this is a no-brainer that this has actually come into my life. It was only, probably maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I met a woman who was a psychic. And she did a reading for me and told me that at some point in my life, in the very near future, I was going to be using sacred geometry in my readings and that my astrology would take on a different form. And, of course, I had no idea what she meant at the time, no idea whatsoever. And then last year, what happens? But a friend of mine does human design. He shows me my chart, and I look at it, and I go, well, that's funny. That looks like sacred geometry to me. It took me another 6 months before I realized that connection. So, I mean, this is something that's really very fascinating to me, and I am so glad that you came here today to tell us about it. But before we get into, you know, talking about the system itself, you know, tell us a little bit about you and how you came to know human design. How did you get into this?
It's also a weird story.
I love
I
weird stories.
You know, my background, my very technical background is I was at one point a suburban housewife, among other things. But I was doing my suburban housewife gig, and my husband at the time went to Sedona, Arizona. And while he was in Sedona, he was visiting with this healer on this retreat center, and the guy ran his chart. And so he came home with this chart, and I saw that chart, and I don't know what I don't even know how to describe the experience, but I saw that triangle because the chart's sort of a triangular shape. And it's like it zapped me in my heart, and I just was like, I got to know everything there is about this. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I literally cried when I saw it because there was something super familiar about it. So we put the house on the market, and we sold the house, packed up the family, four kids, and hit the road and moved to Sedona. Now, I am in human design, there are five different energy types, and each different energy type has a different way of engaging with the mystery and the magic of the universe. And I'm a type that's called manifesting generator, which means that I work best when I wait for the universe to sort of send me the signs and the clues and the path, and I just really have to follow that path. And, you know, I'm not really here to go make it up in my head. I really have to kind of surrender and let the universe show it to me. So as it would happen, my middle son, my littlest son, my youngest son at the time, got an ear infection. He was a baby at the time. He was like four. So I went over and went to the pediatrician's office. We hadn't even moved into our house yet. We were still living in the hotel. Went to the pediatrician's office, came out of the pediatrician's office after his appointment, and immediately the door facing across the hall facing the pediatrician's office, that door had the human design symbol on it. And I was like, well, I'm going in here. I opened the door, and there's a woman sitting behind the desk, and she looks at me. She goes, oh, did you come for the job? And I was like, well, I guess so. So that ended up being the national headquarters for Human Design America. And I started working for them. And as part of working for them, I got to take all the trainings and study with the creator of the system, Ra Uruhu, and just, you know, just bit the whole program, hook, line, and sinker, and sort of have been working with it since. It's been 14 years and more than 6,000 readings later.
Oh, my God.
And of course, we have the best-selling book that just came out last fall. So I'm still here serving that mighty triangle.
You know, I love stories like that because that's the magic of the universe when you're in tune, right? When you're in tune with what your type and strategy is. Now, I don't know that, I mean, did you know your type and strategy at that point in time, or had you not gotten into it that much yet?
You know, I knew it, but you know, what happens for a lot of people, and when we talk about this a little bit more deeply, and you probably have this experience yourself, you know, what happens for, I would say, almost everybody is when they first learn about their human design and they discover their own personal energy type and their strategy for interacting with the abundance of the universe, the magic of the universe, or, you know, I always say, you know, whenever they figure out how to get themselves in alignment with their destiny, and human design really gives you a very concrete, simple program to do that. It's not like you have to meditate for 33 years and hopefully, you know, the light bulb will come on. I mean, it's pretty clear and simple.
Right.
But I find that most people, when they first learn about human design and their energy configuration, they have a lot of resistance to it because it is, you know, basically what is true for most of us, if not all of us, is, you know, we realize that the way in which we've been raised, the way in which we've been trained, this one-size-fits-all approach to how to have a successful life, how to be healthy, how to make good decisions, how to make money, how to have a good relationship, you know, all this stuff that's out there and all the stuff that we've been deeply, I would say, imprinted by isn't necessarily true. But yet, you know, it's scary to stand up in the face of what we've been taught from the time we got here on this planet and say, no, that's not the right way to do it anymore. So a lot of people have a lot of resistance to some of the ideas that they master in human design. For example, about 93% of us, plus or minus, or actually I would say 91% of us because I'm not that good at math, 91% of us.
Well, you didn't claim to be a mathematician.
I'm definitely not a mathematician. but 91% of us are designed to, in some way, shape, or form, wait before we take action. But yet, all of us are deeply taught and conditioned. I mean, really from the time we're born, for the most part, we're taught to go out and make it happen. If you want to be successful, manifest your destiny. You got to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and get yourself out there and, you know, the early bird catches the worm, and, you know, working hard is the only way you're going to get to where you want to be. And if you want to get there farther and faster, then you got to work harder. You know, there's this whole collective consciousness piece that says we are responsible for making our own destiny. And certainly you are, but it's not from the sheer sweat of your brow or the sheer exertion of your will or the sheer force that you apply to your successful process. Personally, I've worked, like I said, I've done over 6,000 readings. I have been so incredibly blessed to be able to talk to some of the most amazing people in the world every day on the phone. And if sheer effort was the only thing that it took to be successful, I would have been coaching billionaires by now. Every person on the phone that I ever talked to would be a billionaire.
Yeah.
Because I've never met, I mean, I'm honest with you here, I've never met a lazy person who hasn't done anything, ever. But I have met a lot of people who didn't understand how to leverage their unique energy. And it does not take sheer will or grit or hard work to make it work for most people. In fact, I would say that really only works for a very, very small percent of the population, like, you know, less than maybe 4%.
Yeah, exactly. And
yet
there's the other 96% of us trying to act that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was a very long answer to your question. Yeah, it was hard in the beginning because because I didn't like waiting.
Well, you know, I fell in love with human design for many reasons, but basically because it just felt so easy. Why don't you take us back a bit and tell us, you know, where did human design come from and, you know, what is it exactly?
Well, so if we go back to the real beginning story of human design, it's really quite a profound story. Human design was first brought to awareness on the planet by a man named Ra Uruhu. In 1987 in Ibiza, Spain, he had a very profound spiritual experience where over the course of 8 days, he basically channeled, although he would never have said it that way, he received from a voice, which the entirety of the system. And it was literally 8 days, 24 hours straight of him downloading or being downloaded upon this entire system. And, you know, the system, although, you know, it has with it, I think, a sublime simplicity and there's a beauty in how simple some of the elements in the system are, it is, truth be told, at least a very complex system in terms of the amount of data that's in the system. You know, it's a lot of information. And really what, you know, what I share with my students, certainly what I share in my book, you know, what people talk about for the most part is really just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what Ra knew or what Ra received. It took him like 16 years of teaching before he felt like, oh, okay, I got enough of this out of me to feel like I have an adequate foundation to begin to share some of the other pieces of the information that he got. I mean, it was that complex and that much information. And truly, you know, this man gave his life to teach this information. I mean, he really, you know, he didn't make any money at it, you know, if ever really. You know, he burned out his own energy at a certain point. He, you know, alienated inadvertently a lot of his family and his friends who thought he was kind of a wackadoodle going around talking about this.
But he
was absolutely, you know, maybe at best, you know, at oftentimes an unwilling mystic or an unwilling prophet, definitely, you know, someone who really gave a lot in terms of sharing the system. The system itself is a synthesis of Eastern and Western astrology, the Chinese I Ching, the chakra system, the Kabbalah, and quantum physics. But what's, I think, so beautiful about it is, I mean, you could sit there and look at the chart and go, oh, I see where the chakras are, and I see where the Kabbalah, the Tree of Life is, and I see where the I Ching is. You know, you could try to pull out sort of little bits here and there. But really, in and of itself, it's a unique system all by itself, and the beauty of it really lies in, I think, the synthesis of all the pieces. And, you know, the way I like to talk about it, it's kind of like, you know, the ancient wisdom of grandmothers from you know, every quadrant, well, not every quadrant, unfortunately, but several of them, of the several, you know, large, important quadrants of the world are sort of wrapped up in this whole system. I mean, obviously, there's some big pieces collectively and culturally that are missing too, but certainly I think the information that's contained within it is quite universal and really describes quite beautifully the potential for what's possible for mankind, which is, you know, the part that gets my juice going. So,
yeah, and I think there is sort of a universal appeal. You're absolutely right. And you almost, or at least I did, I don't know about others, I can't really speak to that, but you almost felt the ancientness of the system itself in just looking at it. And I can't tell you what it was about it, but it just seemed, it was just so right and just so perfect in the way it's set up, in the way it looks even. It calls you in, and you almost want to look at more and more of it just because of the way it draws you in. You know, what just occurred to me, too, is that means if you've been doing this for about 14 years, then you must have studied with Ra at some
point, right? I did
study
with Ra, yes.
Because that would have been, timing-wise, that would have been right about the time when he would have probably been looking for other people to go out there and take the system to the world.
I'm not sure he ever looked for that, but yes, I did study with Ra. He was a very, very individual human being, a very unique human being. But yeah, I don't tell this story very often because it's so hard to explain, but we're kind of on a woo-woo show. But, you know, he would teach, and I take copious notes wherever I go to learn and study. He would teach, and I would sit there with my open notebook, and it would be 2 days straight, and, like, there would be no notes on my paper, but it's like somehow it was put into my brain, you know?
Oh.
And it was, I mean, it really, he would start to teach, and it was this transmission. And I, you know, I am highly skeptical by design. I mean, my background is in nursing. You know, I have a strong background in science. I was very skeptical about this, even though I was obviously compelled to follow it. And I just remember sitting there thinking, you know, I feel like my brain is being massaged. I don't know why, but you know, I couldn't even figure out what notes to take. It was like there was nothing linear there, yet there was so much in what he would teach or transmit. It was really quite fascinating.
Wow. I would have loved to have met him, but he passed on, a few years back? Or
he passed on, I think, in 2010.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, tell us what human design can do for people. Why would, you know, regular, everyday people be interested in human design?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I think the biggest piece that human design does for people, and this is funny because, you know, I was reading this actually just yesterday about, the name of it just slipped my mind, but I was reading an article about a new math system that's being taught in elementary school, and I think it's called core mathematics or something like that. And basically, there's sort of a big brouhaha over it because they're sort of created this one-size-fits-all approach to teaching everybody how to do math, and it's supposed to be super successful. And I was reading this article written by this man who had a degree in electrical engineering and talking about how he was looking at his son's math and he couldn't figure out the core mathematics even though his son was in second grade. And the piece that I think there's a method to. I mean, I'm coming full circle with this, Janet. Bear with me.
So, I gotcha.
The thing that was so interesting in this article is they kept talking about the one-size-fits-all approach to math, the one-size-fits-all approach to math. And I think, you know, when we look at life and how we're taught and how we're trained and how we're imprinted and the beliefs we're given and the messages we're sort of indoctrinated with and the beliefs we carry, you know, we are very much taught that there's one path to success, there's one path to money, there's one path to relationships. And if we just follow the formula of success, you know, wake up, get a job, have routines and rituals, go to work every day, work hard, be good to your boss, stick with one job, only go one direction in your life, and poof, voila, you too can retire in the suburbs. And the truth is, you know,
anything
as
but
I said,
that.
Yeah, really, the truth is, you know, that is good for some people. There are some people who genuinely, that's their life path, and they love it, and they're happy, and that's where they should be. And and there is no formula. There is no follow the step, and, you know, there is no one-size-fits-all approach to creating success in life. And when I say success, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, you got to be in part of the, on top of the 100 top richest people in the world. I'm saying feeling good about your life, feeling happy about your life, feeling abundant in your life, feeling satisfied with your life, feeling happy with, you know, like your little song. You know?
Happy, happy.
Exactly. Hey,
oh,
are you
hello.
Hearing that, Janet? Janet is calling us.
Spirit's calling, apparently. I have no idea what that is.
That's so fascinating.
Indeed.
That was
somebody
Destiny
called in
calling.
From? Yeah, Destiny. Good one. Good one here. Okay.
But, you know, the thing that Human Design does is it shows you your unique path to creating what you want in your life. Your unique way to interact with your destiny and really activate it and really, you know, really liberate yourself so that you can fulfill your true potential, your authentic potential, the peace that you are supposed to be fulfilling. You know, I spend every day talking to people who are burned out, who question their lovability, who feel powerless, who are afraid, who don't know how to make good decisions, who don't understand what's going on with them emotionally, who don't know how to trust themselves and their inner knowing, who don't know how to leverage their energy and they're struggling to stay vibrant and feel alive, who, you know, don't know who they really are anymore and question their value. And, you know, what Human Design does is it gives you a very simple, tailor-made, customized, unique to you strategy for how to feel lovable, how to feel empowered, how to feel courageous, how to be decisive, how to be emotionally wise, how to trust yourself, how to leverage your energy, how to be authentic, how to really value your role of that you play in this world, and most importantly, how to really activate your formula for your success in a way that's right for you.
You know, and that leads us to the main component, or at least the very first component that I learned in Human Design, which is that there are five types, and each of us, based on our birth time, are one of the five types. You know, why don't you take us through that before we start in doing some readings with people?
Okay, well, I'll try to do it and keep it super succinct. So I am, just because, you know, we only have, like, what, less than half an hour now?
30 minutes, yeah.
I am going to whiz through this, and I just want to make a little disclaimer here. You know, this is a super, super, what can
simplified
I say?
That we're going to
overview,
go
gross overview,
yeah,
of what's available. And I really want you all to, if this appeals to you, really go deeper and to understand this. I don't even care where you learn about it, but learn about it because you deserve to understand who you are and how you operate. So there are five types in the Human Design system. Each type has a unique role and a unique decision-making strategy. The first type is called the manifestor. Manifestors are approximately 8% of the population. A manifestor is the only type in the entire system, so only 8% of us, who is designed to actually go out and just make it happen. They are the initiators, so to speak, energetically. So a manifestor, when they get an idea, they can just go do it. Right?
Right.
That's so cool,
yeah,
right? That's,
yeah,
what we all think we are. That's what we all hope that we can do. The truth is, though, for the manifestor, it has its own unique challenges. Part of it is that, you know, you don't always know what to do because it's not like the universe is giving you signs necessarily. I mean, it can. I'm not saying that it won't. But it's definitely not a kind of energy or a kind of energy type where you're going to get a whole lot of interaction from the world around you to know whether you're going in the right direction. As a manifestor, your life creation strategy is very much like throwing spaghetti against the wall and seeing what sticks. And what happens a lot of times with manifestors is they kind of tend to shut down that power because sometimes the spaghetti sticks and sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes even if the spaghetti sticks, you know, it sticks for a wee bit and then poof, you're on to the next thing. And it can be really difficult to not know exactly what direction to go and to recognize that part of your direction-seeking strategy is to just go try it and see if it works. The second piece with the manifestor is energy can be a real interesting issue. A manifestor is great at starting things and not always so good at finishing things because they don't have the same quality of sustainable energy as some of the other energy types. So they really are kind of energetically what I call the billiard balls on the table. They're also not here to be told what to do. Oftentimes they can experience anger because things don't move fast enough, or they can feel angry if people, over things like people trying to offer them help. And the reason why they don't like it when people try to offer them help is because they can do it by themselves, thank you very much, and the time that it would take them to stop their creative flow, because a manifestor has this very intense inner nonverbal creative flow, and if they have to stop doing what they're doing and explain to you what they're doing and then try to explain to you what it is that they could use help with and then watch you do it when in the time that they've done all that, they could have just done it themselves. And it's not personal that they're mad at you. It's just the creative process. You know, they really oftentimes struggle with the emotional theme of anger. And that anger can be from other people who get mad at them because here goes this person who doesn't tell them what they're doing and just goes off and does their own thing. Or anger because they've had to stop their creative flow to deal with all the other people around them, and it's very difficult for them to do that.
Right, right.
The second type is called the generator. The generator is, a manifestor, by the way, is not designed to work, at least not designed to work in the traditional way that we think of as working. And, in fact, that's true for 30% of the population. So this whole you got to work harder to get it, you got to work harder to have success, that's a great idea for people who are designed to work. That's not such a great idea for 30% of the population. So generators are here to work. They're here to find their right work or their perfect work. They have a strategy in life that is all about responding, meaning for a generator, you got to wait for something to show up in your outer reality. And that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a person saying, okay, here's where you need to go next. It can be what we sometimes in the metaphysical community refer to as a sign. You know, if you believe, hey, if I see the numbers 444 three times, in one day, it means I should move to Colorado, and then you see, four license plates with the number 444 during your day, that's something you can respond to. But it does mean that you've got to wait for something to show up to confirm your idea or your inspiration, which is very counterintuitive to how most of us are conditioned. So the generator has to wait to respond. They have to wait to respond to find the right work. They do have sustainable energy. Emotionally, they can have a theme of frustration, and that frustration oftentimes comes from feeling stuck. Oftentimes, the generators will get themselves into situations, particularly if they're making decisions with their heads rather than waiting to respond, and they get themselves stuck in situations, and they can't figure out how to get out, and they're trying to use their heads, and it's not working, and they're trying to craft their way out of whatever it is they've gotten themselves into, and it doesn't show up or work or unfold or manifest the way that they thought it would. The third type is called the manifesting generator, and the manifesting generator is kind of a two-for-one special. They have some of the elements of the manifestor and some of the elements of the generator. So they absolutely have some of the same initiating qualities of energy that the manifestor has, but they can't actually go out and absolutely initiate until they have something to respond to, which sounds really counterintuitive, right? So you're basically looking at somebody who is here to work. The manifesting generators are here to work. They have an enormous amount of energy. They are designed to operate quickly. They are designed to do more than one thing at a time. In fact, if you ask them to only do one thing, they'll fry their circuits, believe it or not. And they are also designed to kind of create with the spaghetti throwing aspect like the manifestor has. They still need to sometimes kind of throw things against the wall and see what sticks.
Yes, exactly.
So that's sort of the element there. Now, they will have, emotionally, they'll have a theme of frustration as well as anger sometimes. So they also, like the manifestor, will have the same theme of being frustrated and or angry or both, like behind the wheel of a car, for example, when nothing is moving fast enough.
I have a few of those in my family.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm one of those, so I'm well acquainted with that. I always say the difference between a generator and a manifesting generator is that if the generator goes to the store and there's a sign on the door that says, sorry, we're closed, they'll get back in their car and pound their fist on the steering wheel. If the manifesting generator goes to the store and there's a sign on the door that says, sorry, we're closed, they'll kick the door, they'll bang on the window, they'll stop.
Why aren't you open?
Rage on the way back. Yeah. So it's the same energy, just a little bit more intense. Fourth type is called the projector. The projector I find that a lot of light workers are projectors. Projectors, first and foremost, are here to manage and guide the rest of us. So they are absolutely very deeply wise about others and have a deep intuitive sense of how to help other people, how to manage other people, how to heal other people, how to help other people stop doing the stupid things they do over and over again. They know what to tell them, right? The projector is another type who is not here to work. So at least not, as I said, in the traditional way that we think of as working. So when you think about light workers and you think about psychics and intuitives and body workers and all of the people who are drawn to that helping field, which is, as I said, a natural fit for the projector, you're also looking at a type that doesn't necessarily have the same consistent kind of work energy that the rest of the world has. And so I think when you look at the light worker community collectively, you'll see that one of the challenges that community has is an access to energy. And consequently, because that energy is all about working, oftentimes I find that the light worker community struggles a little bit financially because we're still working in a world where obviously the collective belief system says you have to work to make money. And yet, because the projector doesn't really have that energy to work sustainably in the same way as some of the other types, working hard and seeing a lot of clients and stuff usually ends up burning them out. So burnout for a projector can sometimes be a really big issue. And being able to work to make money, you know, especially if you have, you know, if you're working by a time for dollars kind of a situation, you know, that can be really difficult for a projector. The second thing with the projector that's really important to understand is the projector has a decision-making strategy, and this is very interesting. They have to wait to be recognized and invited. Which, you know, if you're a projector, you know, you're probably banging your head on the desk now. I have to what? You know? Because who's going to invite you, right? I mean, you're just going to sit at home and wait for somebody to invite you. The thing is this. As a projector, you are here to manage and guide a specific group of people. And you probably, if you are a projector, and you might relate to this if you don't know your type, you'll probably know your type after we talk about this a little bit. You know, you probably have a life history of going out in the world and trying to help people. Maybe your family members. Maybe you shared your opinions or your thoughts or ideas about what they could do to make their lives better, to stop suffering. And you've offered those ideas to them, and they've reacted badly. And maybe they've even asked you, who are you? And who are you to tell me this? And so you've gotten your feelings hurt, or maybe you've even felt a little bitter because nobody really gets you and nobody really hears you. And when you do speak, they either ignore you or sometimes maybe they even steal your idea and don't give you credit for it. That's the nature of the projector. When you, the dark side of the projector, when you wait for those people who are here to be guided by you to come find you, then you are valued. And when you speak, people listen. And when you tell them to do things, they do it. And they cherish you. And they give you money. And they support you. And they lift you up. And they don't drain you energetically. And they absolutely get the importance of what you bring to the world. So it is really important to wait for the invitation. Now, you don't have to you have to wait to be invited to go out to dinner. You don't have to wait to be invited to go do your laundry. You know, it's not about waiting for the little things, but certainly any big decision in life, whether it's moving or a new career or a relationship or, you know, any kind of a big decision in life, it works best for you if you wait for an invitation. And it really can happen out of the blue, by the way. I mean, my first husband, when we got divorced, is a projector. And he went to live at home with his mom for a while, and he's decided, okay, I'm a projector. I'm going to wait for an invitation. Now, at that time, he wanted to study acting. So he was taking a couple of acting classes, and people kept telling him, well, if you want to be an actor, you've got to go out and audition. And he said, well, I'm not going to audition. Projectors don't audition, you know. Somebody's going to have to find me, all right? So he literally stayed home between classes. He stayed home and sat on the couch for, like, 3 months. And people were getting really angry with him, like, what's your problem? You've got to go out in the world and make this happen. He's like, no, I don't. So one day somebody knocks on the door, and it's this cute girl, so he opens the door. And he's talking to this cute girl, and she says, wow, you're really funny. And he says, well, thank you. She says, you should come downtown to the comedy club and where I work. And he says, oh. She says, yeah, they're auditioning, and I think you'd just be perfect. So out of the blue, the stranger knocks on his door and gives him an invitation to go down and audition to the comedy club, which is what he really wanted to do. So he goes downtown, goes to the comedy club, auditions. First audition he's done, right? Gets the job.
Yeah.
Like, and this is a very coveted position. So don't believe for a minute that your invitation can't come knock on your door.
That's a great
okay.
story. That's great.
So it can happen. And I've heard that story, you know, a lot. It's not,
yeah.
you know, various permutations. So the last type is a very rare type, less than 1% of the population. The last type is called the reflector. And the reflector is, they are really here to take in the energy of the world around them. They are literally karmic mirrors, people who are here to reflect back to the people around you, around them, rather, the health of the community. So when a reflector is feeling good and happy and positive about their lives, that means that the environment or the community that they are in is a happy, thriving, beautiful community. If the reflector is feeling miserable, sad, depressed, uncomfortable, restless, or whatever, that means that the environment around them is an environment that's not happy, that's not thriving, that's not beautiful. So, you know, they really, truly reflect the health of their community. Because they are so, they are so variable in the energy that they process in the world, it's very easy for them to get confused about whose energy they're experiencing. They can really feel everybody else's energy so deeply, it's difficult for them sometimes to tease out their own energy. So for them to make really effective and powerful decisions, they actually have to wait like a full cycle of the moon, like 28 days, to kind of feel their way through a choice or a decision before they know if it's correct for them. And as you can imagine, you know, if you're designed to wait 28 days to make a decision in this world right now, it can be a very difficult experience. And I mean, imagine trying to buy a car if you need to wait 28 days to make a decision. You know, I applied for a credit card online, and then after I applied for it, I was like, no, I don't really want it. So I didn't follow through on it. I mean, these people have been flipping calling me every week since. I'm like, you know, I said no. If you're a reflector and you're trying to make a decision about this and you're getting all this pressure from people around you, that's very difficult. And oftentimes what happens if people don't understand how they're configured, they make decisions and then they're disappointed because it wasn't correct.
Oh, yeah. I can see how that would happen there. Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
but I'm really glad that I'm not a reflector.
It's my oldest stepdaughter is a reflector, and she's living with us right now. And it's been a very interesting process to watch her. She's an actress, or an actor. She doesn't like to be called an actress. She's an actor. So, you know, it's an interesting thing for her to be because she absolutely can really get deep into the part. But to watch her cycles, her decision-making cycles, and to see how many times she has been pressured, like she got an opportunity to go do summer stock, and they gave her the part on Sunday, and then, you know, they were like, by Tuesday, they were like, you need to sign the contract. So she had like one day to make a decision, and, you know, who knows if it'll end up being good or not, because she really hasn't had the, you know, the way
she
that
hasn't had her 28 days
right now. Yeah, she just hasn't had the time. So
interesting. Well, let's take a caller and see if we can take a look at their charts and see even a type and strategy, at least get a feel for what's going on for individuals. Our first caller is on the line, and that's Londa. Hello, Londa.
Hey, Janet. Hey, Karen. Thank you for taking my call. This is incredible.
Oh, you're welcome, Londa. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm sitting here with three friends. We've been listening to
three friends.
Hello.
Yes, good job.
It's Susan and Gloria's with me today.
Hi, ladies.
Awesome.
So,
all right, well, Karen has your chart.
Okay.
I've got your chart up right here, my little projector.
I have a question, though, really quick. You were talking about the grandmother part with, the human design. And we were with, in the United Nations, all three of us were with the Grandmother Circle, the Earth Foundation, and did some things on peace symposiums with the grandmothers and some healings and ceremonies while we were around the United Nations. Anyway, so we were wondering if you could say a little bit more about the connections to the grandmothers and this system.
I know there are the grandmothers, and then there's my grandmother. And and when I say that, I mean, basically, I just think about my grandmother. I mean, here's what my grandmother used to say. You know, you should go outside every day. You should eat a well-balanced meal. You should get some good exercise and some fresh air, and that will help you sleep. And when you sleep well, then you have a good life. So when I say that, it's certainly not tied specifically to the Council of Grandmothers or, you know, ancient grandmothers in that respect. It's more like the system contains within it a lot of really great common sense stuff that we all kind of know, but we have forgotten because we've been trained to kind of go against that.
Yeah, exactly. And it says when the grandmother speaks, you know, peace will happen. So it doesn't matter, you know, all grandmothers, you know. So
we could talk about sex for a minute. Can we talk about sex for a minute? Is that okay? Are we allowed to talk
about
that?
Sex.
Okay. When we look at the chart, okay, and the chart is an archetype of mankind, right, and the hardwiring for mankind, we see, first of all, and you'll love this, that the energy for sex and war are located in the same place. Okay, so, and it is a very masculine energy. It's also an emotional energy. Surprise, surprise, right? Anytime we have emotional energy in the chart, it means this energy that's designed to be weighted, you have to wait on clarity before you engage in whatever energies are connected to the emotional energies in the chart. So basically what the chart tells us is that before you sleep with somebody, because sleeping with somebody actually potentially has life or death consequences, right, in so many ways, you know, before you sleep with somebody, you should have clarity, you know. It's like, it's not something you should just jump into, you know. So, and I think, you know, isn't that what our grandmother told us? Or, I mean, to a certain degree, right?
Yes, grandmother would tell me that.
Okay, well, maybe your mother.
Oh, great.
All right. So I've got your chart here.
You are
an incredibly creative spirit here. So do you have a question specifically that you want me to look at? Or?
Well, actually, I just wanted to know a little bit more about the projector and my piece of the projector. And you've already touched some of the parts about the projector where you're a light worker and you do all the work and then your family is not appreciative of you, and if you project your stuff, they don't listen. I've been running into that a lot. But then there's the people who do receive that information, and it's incredible to work with these people. But I just wanted to know a little bit about, because I know from Janet that there's a little bit, projectors, some of them carry a tad bit more different qualities than others. Is there three types? Can you touch a little bit on that? And, like, what type of projector or qualities does mine carry with your chart, with my chart in front of you?
Well, actually, I think I always teach that there are two types of projectors. There's what I call a motorized projector and a non-motorized projector.
Okay.
So
okay.
There are some projectors who really don't have any innate active energy in their chart, meaning they're really, really, really not here to do, meaning they're not here to work. They're not here to do anything physical or intense unless they're invited or recognized. When you're invited and recognized as a projector, then you have access to all kinds of energy. But by yourself, especially as a no-motors projector, you don't have energy. You don't have that same quality of energy. And certainly a no-motors projector, which is not you, by the way, Londa, you do have motors, but a non-motorized projector, you know, maintaining and leveraging energy is exceptionally sensitive. You know, the potential for burnout for a non-motors projector is very high, especially if you're not using your energy correctly. And even if you are, you know, you've got to have some downtime. You've got to have some time to discharge your energy. You've got to be, you know, you've got to be in your own aura and in your own space and really releasing some of the energy that you've taken in over the course of the day or over the course of a week. And that's crucial really for all projectors, but exceptionally important for a non-motorized projector. There are other projectors, another type of projector who's still, everything still applies. You still have to wait to be recognized and invited, but you do have access to a little bit more energy than a non-motorized projector. So for you, Londa, you do have emotional, you actually have two energy centers that are doing kinds of energies. You have an adrenaline energy and you've got emotional energy. For you, though, where it gets interesting is your emotional energy and your adrenaline energy are connected. And emotional energy tends to run in waves. So anybody who has, and this is, by the way, half of the people on the planet, half of the people on the planet generate their own emotional energy, which I think is kind of funny, but I have to be mindful of the fact that my perspective is a little warped, I think, at this point. But I do think it's kind of funny that half of us have our own emotions, and we think they're really real, and we go about creating all this energy around all these emotions, and they're not even really, you know, they're all really generated by ourselves. And then the other half of us are empathic, so we're taking it in and amplifying it and running around like chickens with our heads cut off going, there's a feeling, and we're all having this emotional stuff going on that's not even really that real. But that's me being kind of funny about it, and like I said, most people don't think it's as funny as I do. But anyway, in your case, because your emotional energy is connected to your adrenaline energy, your emotions will tend to operate in waves. And for you, your emotional energy is deeply creative. You have an enormous amount of creative energy here, enormous amount of alchemical energy, meaning for you, when you really get clear about your fantasies and your desires and you get, you know, you allow yourself to engage in creative contemplation and imagining, you know, you can manifest relatively quickly as long as you let go of the logic part of your head, because you have a pretty logical head. That can be an issue sometimes. But as long as you can relax into that process, you know, your emotions will be quite creative. Now, when your emotion, but by nature, your emotions will be kind of wave-like. So you will have cycles where your emotional energy is kind of meh. You know, you won't be full on your game, so to speak, and you might feel like, you know, I just really want to hang out by myself. And you'll have these sort of inner emotional cycles that are more quiet. Because this is a connection to your root center, you might find that not only does your emotional energy kind of go down, but your physical energy might also go down with it, because those two are very tied together. So you might find that when your emotional energy goes down, that you literally are like, okay, I'm not getting off the couch. I refuse. I'm just going to shut the door, close the blinds. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to watch something on Netflix, whatever, and have that quiet time for yourself. And you really need that. You'll have these sort of integrative cycles that are very still, and then you'll come back out again into the full expression of that creative energy that's you. And for you right now, you're in a role model cycle, meaning you are just now really, you're technically what we call a late bloomer in human design. So you are really just now stepping fully into your purpose in the last few years. And, you know, you absolutely need those inner cycles to stabilize all the stuff that's going on in your outer world as you're transforming. You've probably gone through, I would imagine, some pretty intense transformation in the last few years. If not, you might even be right now in the midst of it. And that transformation cycle that you've been in has been all about you clarifying once and for all, this is my legacy, this is who I am, I'm not compromising, I'm going to do what I came here to do, and I'm going to express my absolute creative, brilliant, wise self to the world. And you are here to help people break their patterns from the past. You're here to help people midwife their dreams so that they can move forward into the future. You will do it with perseverance, with commitment, with caring, because you do care and you care deeply, and with creativity, and ultimately with the purpose of reconnecting people in a peaceful way to their deeper understanding that spirit is source, and that when people trust in spirit as their source, they will be infinitely abundant.
Yay!
I love that. That was so beautiful and so right on.
Ladies,
oh, good.
I have to interrupt for just a moment. I have to interrupt for just a moment because we are now down to about a little over a minute left in the show. For those of you who are listening to us via computer, you're probably going to disconnect at some point. If you called in on the line, you will be able to stick with us for a little bit and listen to a little bit more of what Karen has to say. And Karen, of course, that's dependent on you being able to stick with us for a little bit longer.
I can stick with
for
us
those
for a little
of you
bit,
who
and
I've
got to go teach relationships.
For those of you who are listening and will be disconnected here shortly, I just wanted to make sure that you all knew that Karen's book, Understanding Human Design, is an absolutely wonderful book and very clear and easy and to understand. And so even if you're not an astrologer or don't even have any astrological leanings, get your chart and get the book and read about yourself and even other members of your family. It is definitely worth it. And Karen, how can they get a hold of your book? I know how I got it, but what's the best way for people to find the book?
Amazon. You can
yeah.
get everything on Amazon.
Exactly. And that's exactly how I got mine. I went to Amazon. And so please, you know, do yourself a favor. Get that. It's very easy to understand, I promise you. All right. So thank you all for joining us today. For those of you who end up being disconnected, I apologize, but the recording will have the entire thing on it. Okay. So, Karen, I don't know how much more time you have. It is now 5 o'clock. Do you have maybe 10 minutes? Or?
I do have 10 minutes, absolutely.
Okay, let's see if we can take – Londa, were you complete with what your questions were for her?
Well, it was amazing, and thank you. Yes, I am complete.
Oh,
okay.
Good.
Thank you so much for calling in, Londa, and I'll talk to you more, I'm sure, in the future.
I got scared when I started talking about sex. Okay, go ahead.
I wish I had a clip of that song. I mean, that would be awesome to have played that right away. So I would like to bring in another caller, Pia. And Pia, I hope you're still out there. And I see that you're live. So Pia, let's see what your question for Karen might be today.
Hi, Karen. Hi, Janet.
Hello.
Hi. I've probably got a whole lot of questions. I am a 1-3 after all. But the biggest one, I think, is my open spleen, if you could, and those gates I've got there, if there's anything you can say about that, because I tend to have a difficulty stepping forward. I was thinking today about what have I done in my life where I really felt the fear and done it anyway, and it's always been about moving or leaving things, moving country, moving house, leaving marriages, things like that. But there's something, if you could talk a little bit more to that, and the other is just the triple split that is, I do find a challenge.
Mm. Karen, are you there? Karen, did we lose you?
No.
Oh, dear. Well, it says she's here. Karen, if you muted your phone, we're not hearing you.
That's strange.
Karen. Let's see. Steve, are you still out there? My producer, Steven?
I'm there,
Karen,
now. I heard it go. It said unmuted.
Oh, you got muted. Oh, it remuted everybody. I apologize. Okay, so were you able to hear Pia's question?
I was. And so, Pia,
okay.
The first thing I want to say to you is that, you know, you are absolutely designed to be successful doing something unusual. And this is an incredibly sort of lucky configuration. So those places where perhaps you have held back and kept yourself from jumping in, you know, I would say do it anyway, because as long as you're responding, because you're a generator by design, as long as you're responding, you absolutely will put yourself in the right place at the right time doing the right thing, and for you to not be afraid to do that. And the one piece that will hold you back for you and for you fully stepping into that is going to be fear. The other thing I was going to say for you, you have the 3740 in your sun and your earth, in your unconscious sun and earth, and you have the 1949 in your chart, which is the two channels that are, and you have the 29. So you have every marker in this chart that says this is a woman who should be married or who likes commitment, relationship. And at the same time, here's a conundrum in your chart. You're an unconscious third line profile. So as soon as you get into a relationship, there's an energy that happens with you where you're like, I don't know. Am I in? Am I out? Am I in and out? And there's a tendency to be sort of in and out of the relationship, even if it's a marriage, to kind of be like, oh, okay, I need time alone. No, I miss my partner. Okay, I'm with my partner. No, I need time alone. Ra used to teach that the third line profile needs 20 years before they know for sure if they really want to be married or not. So I would say for you, take your time before you make your commitments. And absolutely with these energies, breaking those bonds, especially the bonds of marriage, by the way, is not an easy thing for you to do at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I add that 4037, 1949, plus the open spleen, which, you know, this open spleen tends to want to hold on to things, and you care, and you care deeply, so it's easy for you to feel guilty on top of everything else. It makes it a little bit tricky. As far as your spleen, you have the gate 50 on your spleen, and you have the 28 on your spleen. So when you have the 50, you know, the fear is, if I do this, I'm going to let everybody else down. I'm going to disappoint people. I'm going to hurt people. It's the fear of failing your responsibility.
Yes.
So it can be a really intense energy. And then you have the 28, which is the 28 is sort of a weird one. When you have the gate 28, there's sort of this fear that life has no meaning. And it's in your Neptune, and it often comes in the form of struggling. And you're a third line profile, so there's always a little bit of struggle anyway with the third line, because the third line has to experiment to know if it's true. And mm-hmm. with the 28, you know, there's a little bit of struggle here, but every struggle you've had has been part of your spiritual path. So if you can embrace that understanding and say, okay, you know, this is what I needed to go through to be where I am today, to know, you know, to know the face of God, I had to have these experiences in order to really get clear about what I'm doing and what I'm here to teach. And ultimately, you'll be teaching people or sharing with people based on your own experience and your own experiments.
Mm. Yeah, and things do tend to be personal with me. I have to bring my own personal experience and perspective, and I used to feel very mm-hmm. guilty and self-centered about that.
And it's not
self-centered.
There's nothing in this chart. Yeah, there's nothing in this chart that's self-centered. You absolutely love everybody. There's
mm-hmm.
no ego in this chart. So just do it. Just tell people what your experience is, because they're going to get a lot out of it. As
mm-hmm.
Your struggles have been to, you know, you struggled so other people wouldn't have to.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Now she's a generator, or a manifesting generator. No, she's a generator.
No,
generator,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So lots of energy in this chart. Lots of it. Nice.
Yes, absolutely.
Any sort of last comments you have about the triple split on
I forgot about the triple split.
Yeah.
I think for you, the piece about the triple split is you think you are your head, because whatever makes it to the throat is what you think you are. So, you know, mm-hmm. you think you are what your mind is, and your mind can be quite powerful in that respect. I certainly would encourage you to drop out of that head as much as you can. You have two other
mm-hmm.
splits. The first, the sacral is, and really your sacral is going to take you, as I said, in the right place at the right time, and ultimately
mm-hmm.
even making the right resources. So you have,
mm-hmm.
You're going to feel sometimes like you have three distinct personalities. You've got this beautiful brain, right? You have this
mm-hmm.
other part of your, this other part of you that's perseverant and determined and focused and stays true to your course and puts your head down and gets your work done. And then you have this other part of your chart that's all about relationships and all about fantasy and all about, you know, so for you, I look at this chart and I think, I bet the relationship piece has sometimes knocked you off course. And it's
mm-hmm.
almost like it's separated from everything else. So it's almost like you have all this energy down there, but you can't quite access it. So, you know, for you, really, in terms of partnership or even friendships, you've got a whole bunch of friends there. Your friends would serve you well by asking you yes or no questions and helping you discover what your truth is in response. Because otherwise, you know, there's a lot of fire here that doesn't ever quite make it to the throat, and it probably feels pretty frustrating.
Yes, that makes sense.
And your spiritual challenge, by the way, is letting go of the past.
Yeah. I'm working pretty well on that one.
Good.
That's good. Oh, Pia, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know, I want to honor your time, Karen, and we're at 5:08. I don't know, do you want to take another caller before we let you go for the night?
Let me do one more, and then I apologize. I have to zip over and teach another class.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, I'm so excited that you decided you would stay a little few extra minutes later. That's awesome. So the next chart is for Debbie. Debbie is out
I
there.
I am. I'm here. Good evening, ladies.
Hi,
Debbie. Good evening, Debbie. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
I'm good, thank you. All right, there you are. So do you have a specific question? Another projector, another light worker, I bet, right?
No, not a specific question. I just, Janet told me that you were great to have a reading by. So
okay.
Whatever you want to tell me that would help me would be wonderful.
Okay. So the first thing that we know about you is you've got a brilliant mind as well, and it connects directly to your throat. And when we see this in a projector especially, it oftentimes means that you are out in the world sharing your wisdom, and you have a lot of practical ideas and innovative ideas, by the way, by design. You have the potential to be out in the world sharing this wisdom and not being heard or feeling like nobody's hearing you. And that can be, sometimes with this particular configuration, a kind of a hurtful experience if you're not careful. So the first thing I would tell you is never, ever, ever, never, ever doubt the value of what you have to share and say to others. Let it out, even if, but wait for, you know, what I always tell projectors is you are a precious, valuable gem or a pearl. And you know, when you're sitting on that beautiful purple pillow waiting for the people who recognize the beauty and the magnificence of what you have to offer, do not cast your pearls before swine. Okay? Don't waste your energy trying to share the brilliance of who you are with people who don't get it. So if you can really integrate that deeply, that should hopefully soften some of it. The biggest trigger point for you is you've got responsibility in your conscious son, which can be a really interesting motivator sometimes for someone. You know, for you, it's an energy that sometimes can make you feel guilty if you decide to go do your own thing, because you know, you don't want to fail your responsibilities. Certainly all your choices that you can make can sometimes ultimately be deeply responsible. Sometimes when somebody has this, I always have to tell them, especially when they hit that 50-year mark, I tell them, now it's time to let go. You know, you've done everything you should do. Now it's time for you to do what you want to do. So that's a really powerful piece for you. You have such an active mind, and it is such a curious mind. It really wants to reach out and know the outer edges of the universe. So, you know, give yourself permission, especially with this chart, to really let your mind, you know, I would say take Saturday mornings off and lay in a hammock and just think. That would be the most important thing you could do for yourself. You've actually got a lot of really good energy for business. And when you are doing business, you have a really keen intuitive sensitivity about when the timing is correct for you to share a new idea or a new adventure. So I would say really trust your gut when you feel like you've hit something good or you've hit a big idea or a thought that maybe can be brought forth into form in some way, shape, or form. You are here to initiate other people. When you do initiate them, if you're not waiting for them to respond, sometimes the things come out of your mouth might even be a little bit shocking to other people. In fact, you might even kind of like shocking other people to a certain degree, yes?
Be funny. I guess so. I do in some ways, but they seem to like it.
Well, some people really need it. It's an initiating energy, and sometimes people have to be shocked. And for you, because you have the 44, you know, it's all about, a lot of times you might find that you kind of go bleh, and you just blurt out the truth. You know, the reason why this is happening to you is because you're doing this. And it shocks them because they think, oh, I'm being so sneaky, nobody knows that's what I'm up to, but you know.
Yeah, and then, I'm pretty honest.
And then, yeah, it's the emperor has no clothes syndrome. It's like that you're the little boy that's going, excuse me, the emperor is naked. Hello.
Good one, Dan.
So you kind of call it as you see it. Make sense?
Do you see me in any particular direction? I'm kind of like I'm at a major turning point in my life, looking for a new house, just got divorced after 25 years. I have no clue what direction I'm going, where I'm going, and no concrete ideas. My mind is spinning. But that's typically me.
Well, and that's a projector. I mean, you know, your direction is really going to be determined by a lot by what goes on around you, especially because you have an open G center. So, you know, as much as you can, and this is hard, if as much as you can, I would say wait for an invitation about where to go next.
Right.
I mean, and which, you know, you may not be in a position to be able to do that. So certainly what I would say is as you're looking for a new place, be sure to really go visit any place that you might consider moving into and really feel, how does that place feel to me? Right place geographically is probably the most important thing for you right now. You've got to be in a place that feels good, a city that feels good, a house that feels good. Your bed has to be in the right position. You know, that's the most important piece first and foremost. The second thing that I would say for you, do you do anything in business?
No, not really. I mean, I do pranic healing, I paint, I do watercoloring, I'm taking Lo Ha Chi, I'm a Reiki master. No, I've never owned a business.
Okay.
And I
so
was
are
in the
you
past,
considering doing
I was a
that
microbiologist
kind of
in the past.
Okay.
Just
are you
stay at home mom for 25
kind of
years.
So would you
Excuse
are
me?
You considering like hanging up your shingle as a light worker, or I mean, that was going to be my next question for you. Or are you really, I mean, and the other question would be, and this is always an important question and you don't have to answer this if you want to, is, you know, what's your financial situation? Are you in a place where you can rest a little bit and regenerate after all of these shifts and changes? Because for you, energy is quite precious.
Yes, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do right now. Once I sell my house and move into a new place, as a matter of fact, I found a great house today that I really liked, and then yes, and I help a friend that she has a great little shop outside that I go and pour beer for her once in a while, do something. But yes, I believe that I am. I think I really don't want to go back to work because I haven't discovered what it is that I want to do. There will be something. I know there will be something. It's coming. I can feel it, but I don't know what yet.
And so I would go with that. I would, you know, you're a projector. When the timing is right, the invitation will show up. But if you're out forcing it because everybody's telling you, well, you need to go down and get stuff done, you know, that's not correct for you.
No, it's not.
You know, that's the fastest route to burnout.
That'll just make me hop on the gerbil wheel and become more confused than ever.
Absolutely. Amen.
And it's just a waste of time.
You know, what I always tell projectors, especially if they're kind of comfortable financially and they're not struggling, is follow your bliss while you're waiting. Go do everything that turns you on, everything that's fun, everything that makes you joyful. And by the way, joy is a big part of your chart, and you might have forgotten that along the way. So also, you know, really important to reconnect with what brings you joy.
Yep, that's what I've been doing. I've been trying to I was a stay-at-home mother, but I was a mother that all the kids were at my house. We all ate here. I ran football teams. I played boards. You name it, I did everything imaginable. Soccer coach.
Okay, so mom.
Built museums.
Definitely...
Built house.
Yeah.
So
No. It's definitely time for me to take a break.
It's time for me to stop and
you've done it
and
all.
Figure it out.
You've absolutely done it all.
Right.
Well, thank you so very much. I really appreciate it. It was absolutely wonderful to listen to you. I hope Janet will have you on again. And
enjoy your downtime before you reemerge from your chrysalis. So
you're doing a great job with your student, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
All right, love you both. Have a wonderful evening and weekend. Thank you.
All right, Debbie,
you
thanks
too.
So much. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Miss Karen, thank you. My heart goes out to you. Thank you for staying those extra few minutes to be able to talk to a couple of people. And we will have you on here again because I just love listening to you talk. You have such a depth of knowledge. And, of course, my favorite subject right now is human design.
Well, good. Well, it's been a real pleasure and an honor. Thank you so much. And I keep studying, and I'm sure I'll hear you in forum.
You have heard me in forum because I've been there.
Good. Awesome. Awesome.
So, all right. Well, thank you so much, and you have a great evening and a successful class this evening, and we'll have you on again. And for everybody,
sounds
have
great,
a stellar
Janet.
Evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.